All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Nick. I'm so honored to be asked back on the Structured Podcast to talk about a new topic, which is zero trust access for the enterprise. And I am so happy to be again with Mr. Bill Tracy and Cheryl Hanna. So welcome, both of you guys, or thank, I should say, thank you for having me on here. So why don't we just do quick introductions, just so the people listening know who you are. So let's start with Cheryl.
Hello, I'm a senior network engineer at Structured Communications. Been here for goodness, almost 10 years now.
Yeah. And the handsome gentleman at the top of the screen.
Bill Tracy, Chief Revenue Officer here at Structured, pushing well over 20 years. I think I lost count.
All right. Well, guys, thanks again for having me on to talk about a fun topic following up our Halloween conversation. So zero trust access, as we've discussed in the pre-show conversations, there's a lot of times where people maybe misuse or misrepresent what zero trust is. And ironically, though, I think the theme of the last episode was, Bill, don't trust anybody. So it's kind of funny, right? Don't trust anybody when it comes to cybersecurity. So could you guys maybe explain, before we jump into the details, how do you guys define a structured zero trust?
I'm excited to be here with Cheryl because she's going to say all the smart things on my behalf. But, I think that when I think about zero trust and how we want to talk with folks about it on a daily basis is it's a journey. It's a goal. It's an end state. It's not a product. It's not a technology. It's not a solution. It's not a silver bullet. Zero trust is a series of steps to secure your users, your network, and your applications and your data, whether they live in the cloud, on-premise data centers, or in your distributed enterprise around the country. So it's really made up of a lot of different tools, policies, business outcomes, et cetera, that help achieve a goal, preventing access to critical applications only to the right users that need to access the right data at the right time.
Yeah, and I would agree with all of that. I'll just add on from kind of the day-to-day function of what does that look like in your environment is, from a policy standpoint, when you say what is zero trust, that means that nothing gets through unless we explicitly write a policy that says this combination of user and device and application are allowed. So at the end of the day, you have a list of things that you determine, yes, this is allowed on my network or to access my applications or my data. Everything else is implicitly not allowed.
That's great. So I think a lot of times people sometimes believe the zero trust is like, hey, I'm going to buy zero trust. I'm going to get access, right? It's, and as you both said, it is a portfolio of things that are occurring to make it happen. All right, let's make it real for the people that are listening. So, what are some of the stories or the situations that you guys have encountered at Structured? That let's go into the trenches, right? So of not necessarily at the top with the CISOs having to deal with it, but the system admins or the directors of IT or the people that are doing, working on these security challenges, what are you seeing? What are they seeing?
Well, I can say from...
No names.
No names. Just from the deployment side of things, working with customers who are interested in exploring this, what is zero trust in my environment? And some of our tools we use to profile devices. So kind of an exploration and discovery of what are the things on my network? What's out there? What's being plugged in either to the wired network or the wireless network? During that process, we tend to always have at least one surprise in every environment that they would have no idea was connected on their network.
Okay, give me one. What's the surprise?
Banking customer where we've discovered an Xbox connected to their network. So yes, that's from the security side of things, that's something you just don't want to see.
I mean, gaming's okay. That's good hand-eye coordination. That's all right. Yes. All right, so that's definitely a security gap. What other surprises during this, you know, in the trenches through audits or anything else? What else have you seen?
You know, I think one that we saw and is interesting recently was, I think there's an assumption that you know, multi-factor authentication is pretty pervasive through the enterprise. It's kind of a requirement, right? It's a requirement in our personal lives, even to access, you know, any of our own personal financial services, but it's even going beyond that. And I would say, well, across a lot of our clients, it's amazing to go in and see how many critical business applications are still not being protected with multi-factor authentication. And identity and access is another key foundation of zero trust. You know, it piggybacks on what, you know, piggybacking on what Cheryl said though too, what's interesting is, if I don't know what I have, how can I ever secure it? It speaks to this general approach around thinking about zero trust security though, and that I have to start really at the basics. You know, what do I have and who should have access to it? Those kinds of things. But, you know, MFA is a very, very simple, low-hanging fruit opportunity to provide a tremendous amount of security to your critical applications and critical data. And every day we see folks that do not have it deployed very pervasively throughout their enterprise.
What, for those people that in that scenario, I mean, what's a real world impact of not having zero trust access implemented correctly? What's the risk?
The risk is real simple at the end of the day. It allows simple credential theft, whether it be through, you know, phishing or a malicious application of a presented to a user, to grant a bad actor access to those key applications or key data sets that were not stored behind an MFA protected login.
From my perspective, one of the biggest concerns there is really the unknown. So the less layers of security, the less visibility into who's authenticating or who's connecting to your network, what devices they're using. A lot of these bad actors can sneak in quietly and you have no idea that they're even in there. So I think from my perspective, that's really one of the biggest concerns or challenges with that, not having an environment with those layers of security, creating a zero trust environment, is that you really don't know who and what's coming in without that visibility to those different components.
I'm going to, I guess, go back to a conversation on one of the other episodes where we talked about education. Do you think there's a challenge with the definition of it you guys explained, I think, really thoroughly, but education of really the impact of what could happen? To your point, Cheryl, if the bad actors are in there, there's new compliance rules, there's new rules that keep coming out. Do you think one of the issues still today is that there needs to be more education about it in general, about the ramifications? Or do you think people are like, hey, I got it?
Absolutely. I think education is a constant need and ever changing. Just as technology changes, software changes very quickly and frequently, the education of users and people deploying these solutions needs to be constant and ongoing. Yeah.
What structured approach? I mean, the word structured, obviously, in and of itself is, you know, you have a structured philosophy, but like, what does structured approach to education and understanding, trying to get the customers to get, you know, raise the bar themselves?
Well, you know, I'll start and then please add in, Cheryl. But I think from my perspective, I think one of the gaps that I still see when we talk about, I think that generally when we talk to cybersecurity teams at our clients or infrastructure teams at our clients, they absolutely want to deploy tools like MFA and segmentation. Mm-hmm. But there's tremendous pushback from the business units. Do you get frustrated every time you log into your bank and then you have to do your code or whatever, right? It's maddening. And now multiply that by 100 applications or 500 applications in your everyday environment. And so there's pushback from the BUs on that standpoint. There's pushbacks from application and DevOps teams. Is this going to slow down my CI/CD pipeline, or is this going to make, you know, rolling out and pushing out the updates that our users and our customers and our business wants and the speed and scale they want more difficult by putting in these segmentation tools? So I think with the education piece, it kind of speaks back to what we were talking about earlier around, or in the previous episode, speaks back to what we were talking about in the previous episode around kind of AI awareness.
Yeah.
There has to be buy-in from leadership and from the different business units. And this has to come from the top. But that also means we need to simplify the language and the way we talk about the risks and the approaches to the different types of frontline business leaders and the executive and board and stakeholders to get them to understand what the real world risks and impacts are and why we have to put in this tool, this service, or this solution that is at the end of the day, a mild inconvenience for a tremendous increase in security posture.
So they need to, they have to understand the pragmatic and practical situation so they can really feel the pain a little bit. So that's a good segue into what I like to call, if you were a CISO. Imagine you both are CISOs at enterprise companies, mid-sized companies, mid-market companies. What would be your top priorities around zero trust access and trying to, you know, drive that and make that a priority? Like what would be the first three things you would do?
So from my perspective, I think that we need to start with securing my employees and my third party contractors access to my environment, whether that be in the cloud, on-prem, hybrid, mobile, or even within the four walls of my network. That's kind of foundational piece one. I then have to make sure that I'm securing my network and reducing my attack surface footprint blast radius if there is a malicious event that happens on my network. And then lastly, I have to think about how am I securing my critical assets, my critical applications, and protecting those services from one another, which is just an extension really of the network segmentation conversation all the way down to the application layer. How do I reduce my footprint, et cetera? And there's really a fourth pillar, and Cheryl
I said three. No,
don't. Yeah, exactly. The fourth pillar is the visibility and monitoring of all of that. Because again, if I don't have the telemetry, the data, and the eyes on that entire ecosystem of pieces, then a lot of this effort was for naught.
So Cheryl, those four things, I mean, how would those actually be done?
That's a great question. So if you go back to your question, so as I walking in as a CISO, like what are my priorities and goals? From my side of things, being more on the engineering side, I'm going to come in and interview the C-suite team and interview the engineering team, determine from each end where they believe the gaps are in their network and security. Because I think there's a disconnect where you've got the management C-suite layer teams that have a set of objectives generally more around driving the business and making things work and earn money essentially. Mm-hmm. And you've got the technical teams that are focused more on the specifics of securing the infrastructure, making the infrastructure functional. And so each end of that spectrum has very different views as to where they think their current gaps are. So I think that's where there's a huge opportunity right now in bringing organizations together. How do we kind of marry those objectives on either end of the scale?
That's a great point. I mean, I guess it begs the question then, you know, how do you convince, if you're the CISO in our game here, like how would you convince them to invest, right? I mean, there's a lot of different technologies that you can invest in. An example like Aruba you can invest in, or other technologies that are prevalent in this space. How do you convince them to say, hey, it's worth the money?
Well, I think a big piece of that comes back to, you know, once we kind of normalize the language and humanize the language and share the risks, and we get buy-in, it's time to start doing something. And so I think when you're looking at you know, the tools and services and solutions, there has to be a modular and a step-by-step approach to zero trust. It was like, I think back to what Cheryl mentioned earlier, it's not just one thing you can go get that makes you zero trust. And, you know, you brought up our friends at Aruba, which I think is a great example of, they have multiple solutions within their portfolio that can help achieve this objective, but we can also deploy them independently. With the Aruba Access solution that provides zero trust network access, cloud scale VPN, and secure cloud connectivity services, that helps me protect my users accessing the network, profile my users, put them into security groups, make sure that when they are off of my network, they're getting the same security coverage, scanning, you know, malware prevention, et cetera, that they were getting when they were sitting within my four walls behind the environment, no matter where they're working. And then from there, we start to move into network segmentation. Aruba ClearPass provides network segmentation, network access control, where again, now that I've got my users identified, I can understand what network segments they need access to and what services are needed and start to limit that access. And then I go down to the Aruba C10K switching solution to provide that application level security and intra data center traffic security. But the beauty is all three of those pieces can be deployed very independently in steps that work for your business. So you don't have to bite off more than you can chew up front. We can pick the priority. Is the priority the data center? Is the priority the users? Is the priority the network? Whatever that priority is, or whichever one is going to provide the most business impact first, let's move into a plan to deploy that tool. And then we can continue to move deeper into the enterprise when and where it makes sense. And so I think that that's a really important piece. As we talked about, you'll hear the term zero trust thrown around by a lot of solutions, by a lot of pieces, and they provide elements of this, but you really have to look at it very holistically. And they just happen to be one of the vendor options that has pieces to accomplish both the network, the data center, and the user segmentation. And there's plenty of other options to do specific pieces of that as well.
Do you think it's a misconception that, to your point, you have to go all in to get zero trust, that you can't stair step it? Like that you have to, like, hey, here's an edict, I got it. You have to have zero trust. Like, and then I have to go through all these pieces. And you just mentioned, you know, a couple different stair stepping approaches. Do you think that is a misconception from a both, I guess, priority within an enterprise and also budget?
That's a hard one. I'm going to give that one to Cheryl.
Thanks, Bill. No, absolutely. I think to your point, yes, from a budget perspective and from a deployment and implementation standpoint, you know, on the Aruba product lines, from a zero trust perspective, one of the tools that we implement in customer environments is the ClearPass NAC solution. And a lot of people that we talk to in the early stages of the conversations have maybe had a previous either misconception or a personal experience where it didn't go well deploying a NAC solution. In order to make things successful and deploy them in an efficient, effective manner, my approach always is a very stair-stepped approach. Let's not go turn on 10 new things that are going to increase your security, because then nobody knows how to fix it if it breaks. There's too many things to look at all at once. So let's take step one, and each step we take will incrementally add to those layers of security and increase your overall security posture as you build them in over time.
Just seems like a very structured approach to.
I got what you did there.
Let me, I would be definitely also be remiss if I didn't ask, bring AI obviously into this conversation, right? So when we think about zero trust principles, everything we've just talked about in this episode, how do you think AI plays into this? Like, and is it going to help, hurt, especially as we move into hybrid environments? Like, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I mean, it's got to have an impact, right?
Yeah, I've got a couple ideas around that. I mean, I think one area that AI can really help as we talk about this speaks back to the visibility and monitoring side of this by deploying tools and services with that AI look. How is it providing 24/7 visibility and eyes on these environments, looking for malicious and weird logins, looking for network traffic that's trying to traverse these boundaries? Okay, great. We've blocked it and that's perfect. That's what we wanted. But why is service X or server X or network X trying to communicate over to Y? You know, let's not just because we blocked it. That's great. But we also need to understand why. So I think those are areas that I really see AI benefiting? I think that, you know, it's you know, something we're starting to explore as well. And I think when you think about like how you use ChatGPT every day in your workflow, can it also help us with some of the decisions around the workflows in the tooling? And as I think back to those outcomes that I want from deploying Zero Trust, can it help normalize and humanize some of that language and how we need to, you know, present it, sell it, train it, et cetera, to the business leaders and the stakeholders that are going to make these solutions work? Can it help me, you know, because again, these, we're talking about Zero Trust, and you've heard about all the different pieces that's going to take to make this work. You know, I think there are opportunities to use it in that way too, and haven't even dived into how, you know, AI is really going to integrate into these tool sets, or these maybe manufacturer solutions are going to deploy AI as a part of this. I don't know. Those are kind of some of my high level ramblings. Cheryl, what do you think?
I think from a technical side of things, that I think there's still so much unknown. You know, there's so many platforms that are coming up right now simultaneously. And do we really know a lot about them? So ChatGPT that Bill was just talking about, do we really know on the back end when our end users are typing and talking with ChatGPT, what data they're putting in there? Where is that data going? How secure is that data? What if they're having a conversation through ChatGPT about a customer environment? Where's that data going? Where does it live? Is it encrypted? All of those things. And I think right now there's kind of this general buzz, right, around AI, and it's cool and it's fun and it does all the things. And I don't think we know enough about it yet and understand how each platform is working, how it truly is going to impact our world, our day-to-day environments. So I think there's this almost misconception that if it's AI or has its termed AI, that it's smart and it's good. But I think those are the things that we have to continue to learn and understand and really secure in our environments.
I think that's very, very sound advice for us to listen to. Yeah, I don't think we can call up Sam Altman and ask him what's going on and behind the scenes. I think, you know, we've obviously talked a lot today about obviously Zero Trust, what it means, the definitions. I think the fact that it is, you know, I think your guys' definition was great, that it is so much more than I think a lot of times people think of. It's, hey, it's a product. It is not all these other components to it. And I think understanding that the reality of like, there's some real stuff that can happen, and it can be bad stuff that can really impact a business. So I think obviously clear, good. I think education and understanding what it is. And I thank you guys for sharing your insights and your knowledge, and Cheryl for keeping Bill straight today. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks again for having me on the conversation. Obviously to learn more about Zero Trust, you can obviously talk to Structured, and our friends at Aruba obviously is one solution in the mix. So thank you guys again.
Thanks, Nick. Good chatting with you.
Great to see you.